It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning, let's go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
Good, Rocco. Thank you.
Fantastic, Dave. Wanted to start with a story that your colleague Carissa Wojtek had in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram. The folks over in North Ridgeville looking for some taxpayer help on the ballot this November. What do they need that help for, Dave? What's the latest?
Yeah, this is an interesting situation where the North Ridgeville, both the city and the schools, have created this joint issue that would not only build new schools, which North Ridgeville probably needs because it's a very fast-growing community, as well as a recreation center on the city side. Both of those will appear on the November ballot. The school district wants a new elementary school and a new high school, space for the Ranger High Tech Academy, a performing arts center, and also maintenance and transportation facility on the city side. They're going to raise income taxes slightly to pay for the recreation center, which would include both an indoor aquatic center and be connected to school property. So it's kind of a joint building, right there. This has been brought up in the past. Voters weren't quite convinced. Early 2000s, and then also in 2018, there was a request for an outdoor aquatic center, but voters weren't going for it. How this would work would be the joint issue would be a proposed 0.2% income tax increase on the city side, and then a separate 8.65 mil bond issue for the schools. It would take a couple years for this to actually really get going, for them to break ground. It'd probably be about 4 or 5 years before you'd actually see these buildings, come up out of the dirt. There's some shared operating costs in between. The city would reallocate what it already budgets for the senior center operation that it has and parks and rec programming into the new space. So the $2.8 million, almost $3 million that the income tax increase would raise annually would be enough to pay for the construction, financing, and city share of operations for their side of things. Like we said, earlier, this bond issue would be about $190 million. The district would get some of that money from the state. That would go towards servicing the debt if the bonds were to pass. The original North Ridgeville High School is 65, going on 70 years old. Mm-hmm. There's an addition in 1994. Liberty Elementary School is, again, that's 25, almost 50 years old. Because that was built in 1976, so 25 plus then, another almost 20, 25, almost 50 years old. And the former Lear North Elementary building was built in the late 60s. That now houses the Ranger High Tech Academy. And basically there's just not a lot of room left for all the students in North Ridgeville. And the high school is housing currently about 1,400 students in a building that was meant for 900. There are modular classrooms, separate units, kind of crammed together, very temporary space. And North Ridgeville really needs, according to officials there, really needs some money to fix these space age issues that are going on their facilities.
Well, and you mentioned the growth over there in North Ridgeville, and in the article from Carissa, from the 2010 census to the 2020, the city growing by just under 6,000 residents. So you can see the growing need there. And I kind of like the sales pitch, I guess you could call it, for a lack of a better term, from the city and the schools here with this. Not only is it just the schools that could benefit and the folks involved with the schools that would benefit, but the community as a whole with the recreation center and kind of hinting at previous city projects that had failed in the early 2000s and in 2018 as well. This one seems like maybe there could be a different outcome based on the needs and the wants and everything in here. But, of course, we'll have to wait until November to see how that all plays out. So thanks for the breakdown there, Dave. Again, you can read more on that in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram or online at chronicleT.com. Carissa Wojtek had the latest there. Dave, I did want to get to a story that you had penned over this past weekend. The Lorain County Commissioners back in the news once again, legal fees kind of racking up for those folks. So stuff that we've certainly talked about before here on the program, but kind of refresh our listeners, if you could, what's all been happening here.
Yeah, so this is a situation that had we have three legal disputes. an ongoing lawsuit by former Lorain County 911 director Harry Williamson, as well as the Nexus pipeline dispute, which I think we've spoken about a little bit before. But if you're not familiar with that, myself and also my colleague Jason Hawk have done a significant amount of reporting on that, where Nexus doesn't want to pay what it promised it would pay, came to an agreement with the state of Ohio, and now Lorain County Auditor Craig Snodgrass and especially Lorain County Commissioner Matt Lundy are advocating fighting in the form of an appeal. And then thirdly, we had a brand new dispute between the courts and a vendor. The vendor was building what's called a case management system for Lorain County courts, and that would basically allow you to search court records, allow court documents to be uploaded online so they could be viewed, allow attorneys to file online, that kind of thing. And the courts are now saying that maybe that vendor has violated their contract. So all of these requests for legal representation went before the Lorain County Commissioners. They are the fiduciary body. They are the purse strings. They say, okay, you know, here's enough money to go handle this. So most of the time, other elected officials or, you know, county departments have to go to the commissioners in order to say, hey, you know, we need some money to fight this issue, or we're being sued, or, you know, we want to go ahead and appeal a case, or we want to go ahead and sue somebody for alleged breach of contract, right? All those things have to go through the commissioners. Well, Commissioners Matt Lundy, who is a Democrat, and Michelle Hung, who's a Republican, were on board for paying for two law firms to handle these three issues on behalf of the county auditor's office, county clerk of courts Tom Orlando's office, and then also, you know, on behalf of themselves to continue to fight this this lawsuit that Harry Williamson filed, but then he filed this lawsuit that he filed earlier this year. And Commissioner Dave Moore, who is a Republican, voted no on all three of those, saying that you know, he wasn't comfortable paying for Michelle Hung, especially to get some help responding to a subpoena that was filed in the Williamson lawsuit. And then he wasn't. He also wasn't comfortable fighting the Nexus pipeline appeal on behalf of Craig Snodgrass. He said that, you know, basically it's a waste of money, is what David Moore said. We're going to lose, and this is nothing. This is going to be nothing more than wasting taxpayer funds on a case that cannot be won. So I'll be voting no, he said. Thirdly, Dave Moore said, you know, I don't think it's really time for us to hire an attorney for the clerk of courts. You know, I don't think that taxpayers should pay more for lawyers yet. And he was the one who emphasized the word yet in that sentence. But yeah, he said, I just don't think it's time for us to hire an attorney so that the clerk of courts can be protected, you know, or so Tom Orlando would have you believe, I imagine. And yeah, he just Moore didn't feel like it was time. He agreed with Judge Mark Ileski, who said, you know, this dispute is between the court and the clerks, and also involving that third-party vendor, you know, that Pioneer, which has yet to deliver the case management system. And basically two people said, you know, it's not really time. But Lundy and Hung said, you know, hey, we're going to give the clerk of courts what he thinks he needs. We're not going to turn down a fellow elected official. And Lundy said, you know, keep the conversation going. You know, keep trying to organize yourselves and have discussions and keep the conversation going. But when the prosecutor's office, which represents the commissioners, the clerk of courts, and the judges normally on a normal day, says it has a conflict of interest because it can't represent all three of them mm-hmm. in the same dispute, then you have to hire outside counsel. It's the commissioner's responsibility to provide that outside legal counsel and provide the funds for it. So he said that he was going to go ahead and do that for Orlando. So that's the situation, is that there are two law firms, Retzel and Andrus, and then Sutter O'Connell, who are going to be fighting these three disputes on behalf of the commissioners and some other elected officials.
Whew, so quite the split opinion there from the three county commissioners, and just based on the quotes, clearly Commissioners Lundy and Hung think this will be a quick resolution, one that could be solved amicably, according to Commissioner Hung in your article, Dave. And then on the other side of that coin, you have Commissioner David Moore saying, heck no, this is a waste of money, waste of time, why are we doing this? So it'll be interesting to follow along. Again, you can read the latest from Dave. That was in Saturday, this past Saturday's Chronicle Telegram, also available online at chronicle.com. Again, Dave O'Brien, our guest this morning on the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week? What can our listeners expect to find in the paper as far as upcoming stories go?
Yeah, well, Tuesday night this week, because we had the Labor Day holiday, Tuesday night was a busy night for meetings, so you'll have some meeting news from myself, from Carissa, and also from our colleague Kevin Martin, and some news out of Wellington. If you'll remember, recently there was that police shooting down in Wellington, where a man was shot after allegedly pulling a knife on some police officers who went to talk to him. That man is facing criminal charges at this point, following a Lorain County Sheriff's Office investigation. So we'll have some more information on that as well, and you can read all of that in the Chronicle Telegram print edition or at chronicletea.com.
There you go. Pick up a copy of the Chronicle Telegram today or head online for that digital e-edition over at chronicletea.com. All right, Dave, I hope you had your ears on for all of our listeners. Let's head on over to the police scanner for this week's scanner story.
Well, we're going to unfortunately pick on the fine people of Chagrin Falls today. And we'll give you one that I first saw on Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter, again, at @NEO_scan. Dateline Chagrin Falls, a structure fire on Commons Court. There was fire in the walls after the homeowner attempted to rid the structure of a hornet's nest.
Well, that's one way to get rid of it for good, right? I mean, we all joke, a big spider in the house, burn it down. This guy took it literally. I don't think that's supposed to be literal, Dave. I think there's maybe better ways we can get rid of the hornet's nest, but what do I know? Oh, unbelievable. Dave, fantastic scanner story as always. And again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over there at the Chronicle Telegram, pick up a copy of the Chronicle Telegram today or check out the digital e-edition online over at chronicletea.com. Dave, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.